Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Blackhawks' 11th annual convention. I'm Chris Bowden alongside the Chelsea blogger, Scott King. I want to welcome those who have gathered here, inviting more to come down here to the Hilton Chicago. This is our Blackhawks Crazy live stream on WGNradio.com, as well as it'll be put out a little bit later on as our Blackhawks Crazy podcast. Welcome to everybody. Hope everyone out there is having a good time. Is that the case? Yes? So far, so good? Okay. And we're having a good time here so far as well. Scott, we've been here at the convention since, what, about 2 or 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. We should mention, coming up shortly, we'll have Jeremy Roenick, Blackhawks all-time great, who's making his first appearance at the Blackhawks convention here. Also be joined by the Sakura brothers, Dylan and Tyler, a little bit later on during the course of the next hour, so stick around for that. But back to the here and now, Scott. We've been here since about 2, 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon when media availability was provided for those of us so inclined. And you've had the family down here, taking in the experience from that aspect as well. How's everything going so far?
Yeah, I got my family here. It's always a good idea when you have to work and do a big show that you have an infant and a toddler sleep with you. It's always a really good idea.
That's your fault?
It is. But no, the kids are they're awesome, having a great time. My daughter actually got to play with Kendall Coyne in the ice rink there. Yeah. Kendall Coyne actually helped her score a goal. It's pretty awesome.
That's right. We're right near we're in Salon A, which is downstairs at the Hilton Chicago. There's an inflatable rink over here. And she and a couple of the other U.S. women's Olympians who won gold medals earlier this season are out here helping out. But we know Kendall has such a great relationship with the Blackhawks. She's been around them for a couple of years, helping out with community events, and she's been starring in the Summer League.
Playing in the Chicago
well,
Pro Hockey over League, at lighting it up.
Over at MBI Arena,
got some
too.
Points, yeah.
So she scored on Kendall, is that what you said?
Kendall actually helped her with her, some fundamental work. Got some stick work in, and helped her score a goal. It was awesome. My daughter was by far the smallest girl on the ice, and she played a little bit in our driveway. I was trying to show her how to shoot, but she's running up and down. It was really cool to see.
Chris Bowden, the pre- and post-host on WGN Radio, as well as Scott King, the Chelsea blogger. You can read his work on WGNradio.com and other publications as well. Has been busy with Chicago Magazine and whatnot. I guess as we await our guests here, the big news coming out of yesterday was the fact that we talked to Corey Crawford, saw him for the first time. I don't know if we've necessarily seen him. We've seen him around the United Center and everything for the first time since his last attempt to get on the ice. February 12th in Arizona on a morning skate. So it's been 5.5 months since we saw Corey Crawford on the ice. And he met with the media, talked with them for the first time since that day as well. And I think the main thing coming out of that was perhaps a little bit of disappointment from the fact that Corey did not come out as confidently saying that he's going to be ready for training camp, good to go 100% for the regular season. I think that's the narrative that the Blackhawks have to take. Joe Quenneville, Stan Bowman, and everyone else, that they remain confident that he'll be ready for training camp, which is now 5 or 6 weeks away. But Corey Crawford wasn't necessarily ready to go there at this point yet. And for what he's dealing with, whatever he's been dealing with, he talked about the process. And I think he also, didn't come out and say it, but expressed some frustration, too, at how long this is taking for something, for the game that he loves and, the guys that he's used to being around, too.
Yeah, he said he's feeling pretty good, not 100% yet. And if you saw all the headlines that came out of the media social, everyone was saying, oh, Crawford's not 100% yet. Well, you could have imagined that and guessed that because he's not on the ice yet. He's not doing work on the ice. So wasn't a big surprise for me. I guess just a little bit of a surprise in the disparity between what the management has been saying, and Bowman and company, and then with Crawford saying, I don't know, I'm not 100% yet. I'll hopefully be ready for training camp, because we've been hearing for a while that they expect him ready for training camp.
Yeah.
So we'll see. He might have a little more work to do.
And it's not unusual that players aren't on the ice until about this time of their off season. Most of it is off-ice training work, and I think that's the case with, whether Corey was good to go or not. the guys usually take some a lot of downtime during the course of the summer. And, you know, they're around the rink practically every day from the start of September through at least, you know, the first week of April, if you're fortunate enough to make the playoffs, because that's a heck of a grind. And I think most of the players take that tack that they're, you know, going to be off the ice. They need some recovery time, and that's the case with Corey. But I thought it interesting as things kind of wound up yesterday in that media scrum. We were with him for about 10 minutes or so. And you could sense how much this means to him, because I think the last question or two, he was starting to get a little emotional by the fact that, you know, he has to answer these questions instead of simply hockey-related questions. And you got the sense of how much the game and the teammates and the environment means to him,
yeah,
too.
I think you were the one to point out quickly on the Twitterverse that he was...
I wasn't the first.
All right,
yeah.
Second, you still get credit for seconds. I mean, you know...
that's me, the second.
It's the Blackhawks convention. We like to reward people for first, second, and third in reporting. I think part of the reason he got emotional is just how much support you can imagine behind the scenes he's gotten from teammates. Probably getting texts from guys going to see him when he's around. And you know, they do have that chemistry. He's very close to guys, obviously. He won a cup with back in 13 and 15. So you can expect them to be there for him behind the scenes. And like you said, he really just wants to get back and play. And they're going to need him to play.
It's a Blackhawks Crazy live stream and podcast coming to you from the 11th annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago down in Salon A, where lots of activities going around. You know, in terms of, you know, we'll pick up with some of the other conversation in terms of the Blackhawks, the meat and potato stuff. But in terms of what's going on here this weekend, it's just a continuation of what we've seen for the previous 10 years, because, you know, this is a time to kind of light the lamp on hockey again. Even though August is going to be pretty quiet, it's a time for guys to quietly get back on the ice, get their games going, and getting in hockey shape before the actual training camp begins. This is a wonderful event. Obviously, the brainchild of John McDonough when he did it with the Cubs convention years ago. But even this is our short area here, our small area here, in terms of what we can do in terms of fan involvement, the, you know, inflatable rink. But there's a whole lot of heck of else going on between panels and whatnot, and it's a fun time to have for all the Blackhawks fans here. And you know, I think they cherish and relish this opportunity to be hanging out with the players and checking out some panels that are pretty fun too. I went to a Second City panel. Those people are so talented in that.
They've done it a few years.
They got
really
some
good
of the Blackhawks players involved, a little bit of improvisation. This morning, Rocky Wirtz had a session along with the Blackhawks historian Bob Verdi, talking about the book that's coming out, which is very honest and clean in terms of what his family has gone through in terms of bringing this franchise along. And then we were just at I stopped by real quick before coming over here, a goal scorers panel with Patrick Kane and Jeremy Roenick, just talking about some of the nuances, goalies that are tough on them, some of the highlights of their career too. So it's a whole bunch of fun here for all these fans.
Yeah, I think John said on our show last year the Hawks were the first NHL team to do a convention, and I think maybe only like Montreal's done it since. And we have a special guest joining us here.
Yeah.
I talked about
the goal scorers panel that was there a little while ago. Ladies and gentlemen, as he puts on a pair of headphones, he's been in town for about 10 weeks or 10 days or so, and this is his very first Blackhawks convention. For those of us here, would you please welcome one of three Blackhawks players in history, one of five Americans to score 500 goals, one of three Blackhawks in history to have 50 goal seasons. He did it twice. Would you please welcome Jeremy Roenick here? Jeremy, Chris Bowden, and Scott King here. Thanks for joining us on our Blackhawks Crazy Show here. This is your first taste of this. You know it's been going on for quite some time. I know you weren't here for the opening ceremonies, and you know you're just a couple of hours in. I know you had one panel so far, but
amazing.
What do you think of this turnout?
Amazing.
Here? Yeah,
it's really impressive. And you know, it's one thing to see the fans out in public. It's another thing to see the fans at the arena. But when they come out and take their time to come into the city, right, and come to a convention where they can say hi, they can come and shake hands and meet you, you really get the magnitude of how great the Blackhawk fan base is. And this is just a machine right mm-hmm. here, right? This is it's been great. Patrick Kane and I just did the question and answer upstairs to a packed room,
yep.
And they were great. It's really special being here. I'm really proud to be here, and know, took too long to get here, but hopefully we can do this every year.
Have you bumped into Chelios yet? I know he was at your youth hockey camp on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, he was there Thursday. He comes in. We're such good friends. We do a lot of stuff for each other, and he's come in now 2 years in a row. He was with the kids for 3 or 4 hours on Thursday. Just a great ambassador for the game and for the Blackhawks now. Glad to see him as an ambassador. I know he's excited about it, and Chelly deserves and needs to be part of the Chicago area, and I know he's going to make a lot of kids happy, a lot of people happy here.
I talked to him last night. He said you're obviously a great friend and we're a great teammate.
Yes.
He also called you the Don Cherry of U.S. hockey. What's your reaction to that comment?
No, it's actually it's how you take it. I mean,
you don't have the wardrobe.
I was trying to think of how I was going to phrase, the Don Cherry. I definitely have the mouth for it, but I wouldn't wear the outlandish suits that he does. I wouldn't pull it off as good, but it's nice. I think one thing about Don is he's a character. He knows the game. He's very honest, sometimes brutally honest. But his passion for the game is as deep as anyone's, and his knowledge for the game. So I take that as a huge compliment, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I think you've been in town for a couple weeks now. I know you're always involved in the Helping Hands Network golf outing. I missed that one this year because Prospect Camp was going probably better that you weren't hovering over my shoulder as I tee off on whatever hole you're at.
I got a hole one at the tournament this
year. Did you really?
Yeah, 17.
That's what, your 20th of your career?
Yeah. I wish. It's only my fourth. I've been playing since I was seven, so 41 years. I just hit my fourth. So.
Nice.
But it was a great event. So I had Helping Hands on Thursday, and then my hockey camp we just finished last night.
Is that the first one you've done here, or has it been going on for a couple of years, your hockey camp?
This is the second year.
Second year?
Last year I did, I wanted a small camp. I did 40 kids, and we had a phenomenal turnout, and the parents loved it so much. This year I went to 100 kids, and it's like with 100 kids on the ice for 7 hours a day for a week. I'm still shaking a little bit, but the back hurt, the feet hurt, the knees hurt. But
more nervous than a Stanley Cup final.
It was so good. Every single kid had a great time, and then all the parents were really, really thankful for a good week.
We've talked about this before. I know I speak for all the fans here when you're obviously a guy who has done enough to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And you basically told me the same, and that when it's announced every year and you're not one of the names, you don't let it occupy your thoughts too much. But, I think you feel like you also did enough to be there as well.
I think there's a 5 minute span where you put your head down. You like, you feel disappointed for about 5 minutes. But then again, you have to understand the process. I mean, that is a very, 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 very tough group to get to be a part of. For a lot of different reasons, and hopefully the day will come. But I'm patient, and it doesn't matter when it comes. If it'll be the best day, one of the best days of my life, if not the best day, with the exception of my kids being born. But it is what it is. And they say you talk about the Hall of Fame, you never get in the Hall of Fame. So that's as much as I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah, and I'm certain that day is going to come. And one of your former teammates who's here this weekend too, Stevie Larmer. I mean, he deserves it just as well.
Well, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Right? A perfect example. Well, you have Dave Andrechuk, who waited 10, 11 years to get there. He has over 600 goals, the Stanley Cup. Steve Larmer, who's, Stanley Cup, almost broke the consecutive games record, but just a model of consistency. I believe he should be in the Hall of Fame. But then again, that's where all the debates come. There's so many different guys that you think should be there but aren't, and there are some guys that are there that a lot of people don't think there should be. So it's always you're always going to have that debate.
You played to what, 38, 39?
39, yep.
As we talk about this current Blackhawks team, obviously there's a level of enthusiasm with some of the guys coming up through the pipeline, some guys who have been here a year or two in the DeBrinkets and the Schmaltzes, guys who are going to have to take the next step this year. But as we talk about those who have been here a while, the franchise cornerstones here of this Blackhawks era, the Taveses and the Seabrooks and the Keiths, I think Patrick Kane is still at a very elite level. But after a little bit of a downturn last year, explain to our audience, too, what it's like for an NHL player as he gets into his 30s and starts, moving up age-wise.
Yeah.
With that question said, though, it's also a different game now, too.
It's a real different game. And the preparation has got to be way more concentrated. You talked to Jonathan Taves this summer, I'm sure it's a lot different conversation than you would have had with him last summer. I think he's very, he's not happy with the season he had last year. He's not happy with his team not making the playoffs. So you have that situation, and all of a sudden you have a captain that needs to lead the team in a lot of different areas. And he's a proud guy. I mean, he's one of the most proud, one of the better captains that we've seen in the National Hockey League in a long time. So he takes that upon himself to make sure that he's preparing differently and preparing harder. When you get in your 30s, it becomes harder. Body doesn't do all the things that, you know, naturally it did in the 20s. It's just, you know, you can't beat Father Time, and the wear and tear beats you down. Not only physically, but mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need to have maybe a little off year to kind of click you back into that state that you're not going to be denied. And I think that's where Patrick is. That's where John is. I think that's where Duncan Keith is, Seabrook. It's a fast game. But these young kids have to also understand that the embarrassment and the, I think, the letdown of missing the playoffs, that no matter what they've done the year before, they got to kick it up. And they got to be the ones who are helping the older guys, that are putting pucks in the net on a nightly basis, are doing those dirty little things that you need to, you know, defensemen growing and developing and not staying stagnant. I mean, that's where these guys are right now. You're wearing the best emblem in sports, right? There comes a point where, you know, you have to have that pride in that crest that you wear. It should be all the time. But after you miss the playoffs, that's when you have to dig the deepest.
Mm-hmm. How difficult is that challenge when you see the competitiveness of this conference? And is it a challenge also for Joe Quenneville and his coaching staff?
You get weeded out quick.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. You get exposed very quickly when that happens, when it gets tough. Players can see it, coaches can see it, management can see it. How you act off the ice, how you prepare yourself off the ice, how you compete on the ice. This day and age, you don't fool anybody because the game, how fast it is, it exposes you really quick. And guys, people know when you're putting in the effort and when you're not, when you're committed and when you're not. So I think in this day and age, if you're not prepared and you're not ready, you get weeded out quick. And trust me, there's someone right behind you waiting for that opportunity. And, you know, it's a scary thought, right, you know, to think about every day. That's a lot of pressure. But that's what happens with big business. That what happens with large salaries comes bigger expectations and bigger pressure.
There's not a lot of guys in broadcasting that give their full, honest opinion, like whatever's on their mind the way you do.
Yep. You got to be honest with what you think, and you know whether it's, you know, I've been very critical of the Blackhawks when they play bad. I mean, do I want to? No, but that's my job. You know, when I first got to broadcasting, my boss said, "We're here to teach and inform, and not make friends." And that's kind of the mentality that you have to go about all the time. But I mean, my producers called me, my boss, and was like, "You can't say that," because I called out one of the owners or I did something like that. And there's certain levels that you can't go to. But listen, I'm a shoot from the hip, you know, speak before I think sometimes mentality, and you know, you just got to take the good with the bad.
I wanted to ask you about early in your career. You really took it upon yourself after you're drafted to put on some weight and some muscle, and I'm sure you worked real hard doing that. How much harder do you think you had to work compared to maybe nowadays where they have nutritionists, they have top of the line equipment? How much more difficult do you think it was?
You know what? It's funny, when I came in 1988 and 89. I mean, we had two stationary bikes in the locker room, both with chains. One of them with chain was broken. I mean, our training camps were, not, you know, an hour and a half scrimmage, you know, 3.5 hours at the bar.
Except when Keenan came along.
Even with Keenan, it was a little different. But I didn't see an ab on a hockey player until I was 26. It wasn't, it wasn't big business yet, you know. We went from $720 million of revenue as a league in 1992 to over $4 billion now. This is big business. Mm-hmm. I mean, these teams, they rely on their players to sell tickets, to, you know, market their teams. The salaries are big. These guys work way harder than we did when I first started.
Well, part of your NBC, fine work in NBC also includes some field reporting, and we've seen that seen that recently. Yeah. So what? Some catfish hunting I saw. Yeah. I saw you in a. I saw you jumping off the tower in Vegas. Yeah.
He was yeah. Elvis. Was
didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
Nope. Didn't like that at all. I don't mind.
Was that the scariest one, or getting behind the wheel of a car,
the car was amazing,
or jumping into a freezing.
Hate cold water. Hate cold water. I the polar bear plunge was not one of my favorites. Jumping off a perfectly strong structure like the Stratosphere in Vegas was not my my best. Swimming with the sharks was great. That was awesome. I jumped off a pirate ship off the plank. I've done a lot of crazy, stupid stuff, but I like that stuff. I like being goofy. I like having fun, making people laugh. Sure. Making people aware of certain things they can do. I'm the one that's always doing it because Mike Milbury's not going to do it. Jones is not going to do it. So I'm the one that gets stuck doing it all. So
great job. Great job on all this. As we wrap up, we know you got to get going. Any final message here to be well, you've always been in the family. Yep. All families have feuds at some point or another. Yep. But to be back here 11 years in, finally, we got, I don't know, about 30 people or so, 40, 50 people here gathered around us. Any message you want to give?
300.
Yeah, what's great about Chicago is no matter when I come back, which I do come back quite often, it never ceases to amaze me how well I'm accepted and the kind words that I get all the time. Mm-hmm. I can't remember anybody saying anything negative. So the fans have been amazing to me for years and years and years, and they still continue to be. As far as the team, I think this is a really good stepping stone. I mean, they've asked me back for the one last shift. I've done a lot of things for the Hawks. I think they know that I love them, and I think being here and being with everybody around here, seeing their passion for this team. Hopefully they understand that and know that with me being here and me making my first appearance here, they know that my passion is burning just as strong. So I've enjoyed it.
It's always coming right back at you, and we appreciate you joining us here.
Awesome, Jeremy. Appreciate it, man.
Let's hear it for the eventual Hall of Famer, Jeremy Roenick, joining us here on our Blackhawks Crazy Show at the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Chicago Hilton. Stay busy, my friend. Take care. Yeah. Jeremy Roenick joining us here at the Blackhawks Convention. Coming up, we'll have both Dylan and Tyler Sakura to join us here as our Blackhawks Crazy podcast rolls on. But always great stuff. I'm old enough to have covered the dude, back in his playing days. And, he was a gem from the time he came on. And come to think about it now, it is 2018. He debuted in 1988. So 30 years ago is when he was drafted number 8 overall. Kind of maybe there's some maybe there's some something going on that the Blackhawks had a number 8 pick this year too.
Right.
But you can't get much better than the number 8 overall pick in the 1988 draft, Jeremy Roenick.
This has just been an awesome convention for me. I mean, Chelios, Roenick, got to talk to Belfour, I think. Was it last year? He had one last year. That was my team when I was a kid. So
right.
Very, very cool. Very great to have him on the show.
Yeah, and you brought up Chris Chelios a little earlier. Of course, it was announced earlier in the week that he is back as an ambassador, and I think rightly so. I love the situation of him being up on stage right next to Dennis Savard when those two were traded for each other. When Mike Keenan really took ownership of this team after he became coach and wanted that impact shutdown defenseman who could also provide some offense. They didn't get any greater than Chris Chelios in the day. The sacrifice was Dennis Savard, but they were sitting there together on the stage. And, I think props here, maybe more for the fans here who take the time and the effort to come down for a convention, that they gave him the warm ovation that he deserves. You know what? For all those complaining about Chris Chelios asking for a trade to the Detroit Red Wings back in the day or trying to engineer that, hey, this franchise wasn't in the mindset and situation back in the time when his career was moving on and was looking to win a Stanley Cup. He didn't necessarily see that happening with the way things were trending. Yeah, he was part of a lot of great moments when the Hawks made deep playoff runs, but didn't get to the point where they could raise that Stanley Cup. I can't blame the guy if that's the one thing to cap off his career he was looking for whether it's the Detroit Red Wings or, you know, the Arizona Coyotes or whatever team, the New York Rangers or what, I can't necessarily blame that for him. And I'm glad at least the fans here gave him the ovation he deserves. Let bygones be bygones by this point,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people just got to realize, I mean, I think they do realize, that's why they appreciate the three cups recently, that it was a different regime back then. And you don't know what's going on behind closed doors, how who talks to who. And I think some of the specific problems people had with Chelios was that he brought a cup around Chicago, mm-hmm. where he's from, after he won it,
right,
in Detroit.
Right.
Like, give the guy a break. He won a Stanley Cup. You know, I just don't think the reasons fans would boo him or didn't like him after he left weren't that good. And it might have changed judging by his reception at opening ceremonies last night, which I was really happy to see.
Yeah, and you know, I think people who I think they have a general idea, the diehard Blackhawk fans, because you know they lived through some disappointments in what had happened to the ownership of this team, the family and how it was constructed and the ownership and everything. There was a lot of frustrations in terms of that. But, you know, I think everybody will kind of understand, and probably more so when this book that has Rocky Wirtz's blessing that comes out and was part of a panel a little bit earlier, they get a chance to read that. I think they have a very good sense of it. It's our pleasure right now on the Blackhawks Crazy Show to welcome the brothers, the Sakura brothers. Is that like a pizza or something? It almost sounds like that. Would you please welcome Dylan and Tyler Sakura up here for those who are gathered and joining us here?
I think everyone's just going to refer to you guys as the brothers around the organization.
The bros.
For several years.
The bros.
Come, yeah.
Dylan, Tyler, thanks for joining us here. Your first taste. Dylan, were you here last year? No, nothing.
Yeah, this is my first
time. So what are you thinking so far here? You've had an opening ceremony. You've probably got a couple panels coming. You've been around the people. I know you knew this was a great organization, both of you do, but what are each of your initial impressions so far this weekend?
Yeah, it's been an awesome start, and just to see the fans, and obviously last night the little walkthrough, and that was pretty awesome, and you know, it's been an awesome venue, and I couldn't ask more, much more.
Tyler, what are you thinking?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I didn't really know what to expect coming into this weekend, and to see the fan support and everybody coming out in spades to support the team and meet our faces, it's pretty incredible experience to go through.
Dylan, with 5 NHL games under his belt when he joined the team late last season, 3 assists, and Tyler was named the Rockford Ice Hogs MVP. He really come on. Both of you had breakout 2017-18 seasons in terms of, you know, how your hockey careers have been progressing and in terms of reaching goals. What did last season, capping things off, first of all, Dylan, for you at Northeastern University, and then having the opportunity to quickly here join the Blackhawks at the NHL level, how can you sum up what happened to you from a year ago to where you're sitting now?
Yeah, pretty crazy how much stuff can change in a year, but obviously going back to my senior year at school, I think it was a pretty successful year, and you know, going into the year, we kind of had a couple goals in mind, and I think we achieved most of those. And just to have the chance to be able to come straight to Chicago and get those 5 games under my belt, I think it's a huge learning experience. And, you know, just be able to meet the guys and get a taste for the league is going to help me, I think, along.
And Tyler, how about you? How much of an impact did what you accomplished last season have for you career-wise?
Oh, it was huge, you know, playing for a lot of different teams and different pro leagues for the first couple of years of my career. You know, you're not sure if you're going to get an opportunity like this at all. And fortunately enough, it's with my brother and this great organization. And I can't ask for anything more to be in the situation that I am right now.
I have to imagine it's a really big training camp, obviously, for both you guys coming in, where you're at in your career. Now, Dylan, after playing in 5 games last year and getting 3 points, 3 assists, do you have some confidence heading in, or is it better for your preparation to kind of just say, no, I'm starting from scratch, I have to earn it again?
Yeah, definitely. I think you got to go in with a little confidence, and I think a big big part was just, you know, meeting the guys, obviously, and getting comfortable with them, and, you know, going into camp, just kind of focus on hockey there, and obviously this year going in, my first main camp, I'm just focused on making the team.
I guess this is for both of you guys. Talking to Tyler last night, it didn't really sound like you're this stereotypical older brother. I mean, you're 3 years older than Dylan. Like, you didn't really pick on him. You guys just kind of played a lot of hockey together. Is that true?
Yeah, that's pretty true. I think I'm more the brother that would be looking out for him. Somebody else were trying to get into it with him. That's not the same case for a lot of brothers. I know my dad didn't express that same sentiment. He was the younger brother in that dynamic. So, you know, we've had a lot of fun playing hockey throughout the years in the basement and learned a lot from each other.
Come on. There had to be a moment like Dylan's 6, Tyler's 9. You know, it's always in that age area, like the 6 to 12 or 13. There had to be a throwdown at some point.
He had to get out of line at some point. And no matter how laid back Dylan is, he had to get out of line.
Don't paint this beautiful picture for us, okay?
It wasn't without its disagreements. There's some tears and hip checks, holes in the drywall and whatnot. But for the most part, like I said, we look after each other.
Easily forgiven, I guess, some brotherly love there. Tyler, from your aspect, though, you alluded to it. How much did, and let's face it, you earned a contractual commitment from the Blackhawks with your play down in Rockford this year. How much did that day mean to you?
It was incredible. It's something that I dreamed of my whole life, and going through the path that I took, it becomes harder and harder the older you get. There's draft picks every year. There's new prospects and players that they have to choose from, and I'm fortunate that I was in a situation where I had a coach who believed in me, a lot of great teammates, young guys that were eager to learn and get better every day, and I think I progressed a lot throughout the course of the year, and fortunately was able to come up with a contract and hopefully to take that next step now to the NHL.
When did each of you guys kind of realize your skill set? Like, at what age or what time of your life do you realize, I'm good at this on the ice?
I think both of us are kind of late bloomers throughout our career, and you kind of see that as we kind of both went through the same phases throughout our hockey career, and I think that really helped me out, because even with my parents, they were kind of able to experience everything firsthand with him, and when it came around to me, we kind of knew what to do, and I guess through juniors is when I first kind of figured it out when I committed to Northeastern, and obviously I had a rough patch at the start of my school year, and I think throughout the years, I think just getting trust from the coaching staff and the players, and I was able to kind of springboard me into the next jump.
To go with that, what does it take for somebody after you're scratched in 11 games? We talked about this last night. You're scratched in 11 games as a freshman. In the last 2 years of your college career, you end up being one of the best players in college hockey. What do you have to do mentally and physically to get there?
Yeah, it was pretty tough. Obviously, you got to use the people around you and trust the people around you, and obviously the coaching staff there helped me out a lot, and like I said last night, I was fortunate enough to have some players that I played with before that kind of helped me through the process. And I think at that point, you got to know you're there for a reason. You got to believe in yourself, and you're going to go through those kind of phases throughout your career. And it's going to happen again, probably at the next level for me. So I think having that in the back of my mind and using that as a learning experience is going to help me.
Tyler, you alluded to this a little bit earlier. I mean, what clicked last season for you, and how much of an influence? We hear from guys who've come up from Rockford, and they all rave about the job that Jeremy Colleton did in his first year as the head coach down there. The Blackhawks decided to make a move a little bit more than a year ago to bring Jeremy in. What clicked with that coaching? Was there anything that particularly that clicked with you and that coaching staff, whether it's Jeremy or some of the assistants?
Well, Jeremy is a player's coach. He's extremely smart. Actually, all three of them, played at the highest level.
Yeah, Sheldon Brookbeck, Derek King as well.
And they understand what it takes to get to that next level, and they're very new age in terms of wanting to make plays and play with skill. I think when I was coming up into the American League originally, I was on a call-up basis, kind of a fill-in guy. So I'm playing fourth line, not playing very many minutes, and because of that, I fell into a little bit more of a defensive style game, and despite starting the season on the fourth line and kind of going in and lineup in Rockford, Jeremy saw that I was willing to put in the work and that I had some talent there, and he encouraged me to play more offense, actually, and use my skills to try and create some offense. And once I realized that I wasn't cheating and I was kind of allowed to try some things, I gained some confidence, and then things started working for me.
Tyler, how were the Ice Hogs, that there were more eyes on you guys just because the Hawks had a short season? Did you guys feel that? Did you use it as some kind of motivation to perform well out there?
I think so. We have a lot of guys that are looking to make names for themselves, especially a lot of young players where they're figuring out pro hockey and trying to learn how to take the next step to the NHL. And with the Hawks missing the playoffs, they were present at pretty much all the playoff games, and they obviously do a great job throughout the year as well with all their development coaches, and you really feel a connection to the Blackhawks that I haven't felt necessarily with other AHL, NHL relationships. So it's pretty special that they take a very keen interest in developing players, and you feel as though they know what kind of player you are because they've seen you and they've worked with you.
Chris Bowden, Scott King here at doing our Blackhawks Crazy Show from the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago. Pleased to be joined by Dylan and Tyler Sakura here. Dylan, let's go back to that NHL debut. Man, there was a lot going on that night. I mean, did some of that going on, I'm sure once you, how, first of all, how nervous you were you for your NHL debut? How long did that take to wear off? And heck, by the time the night was over, I mean, you were way in the background between Delia and Foster, plus the Brent Seabrook 1,000th game of his career.
Yeah, it was probably one of the crazier nights in Chicago sports history, definitely. But it was an awesome experience. Obviously, the jitters are there throughout the day, and I think when you first get to the rink, you're more excited than anything. And you know, when you first step on the ice and you hear the crowd, it's pretty crazy. But obviously, a little overshadowed by everything that happened. You know, the ceremony for Siebes was awesome, and obviously Sharpie's last home game, and then Foster came in and kind of, I guess he's a celebrity now, so yeah. Just seeing him around here is pretty
cool. He's your fellow conventionee here this weekend.
Exactly. You know, every time when, you know, people ask me about it back home, that's the first thing that kind of comes up, so, you know, definitely something I'll never forget.
Did all that help because you kind of were able to fly under the radar, maybe not feel as much pressure, or do you want a big, like, welcome ceremony, you know?
No, definitely. I think, you know, obviously Siebes' thing kind of took away from that right at the start, which was nice for me to ease in. And obviously at the end of that, when Foster first came on, I think everyone was kind of having a little chuckle on the bench, and kind of it made it a lot smoother.
Both you guys made your debut.
Yeah, and after the game, it was like, oh, yeah, Dylan had 2 assists in his NHL debut. We better get to him tomorrow or the next day about that. Yeah, I know you guys had to fly out of town real quick. So, Tyler, what happened? Are you going to put the request into Joel? You and Dylan on the same line in training camp, how's that going to work?
Sure. Yeah. He listens to the WGN.
He listens to our podcast all the time.
Power play time and PK time, I guess, while you're at it, too.
Yeah. We'll put in the good word. Is there anything specific this offseason, though? I'm sure you got your word from, you know, the training staff, you know, once you had your exit interviews. What's been most important for you to focus on next year? Because, hey, guess what? You, DeBrinket, Schmaltz, those guys, you're going to be counted on for a lot this year.
Yeah, I think going into this season, I think in the off season is a big thing for me. It's just being a smaller guy in the weight room. And obviously, I got my brother here. We work out together, and we got a good group back home. And I think that's been the main focus for me, is just getting bigger and stronger, because, you know, you first couple tastes of the NHL, you realize how big and strong and fast everyone is out there. And you know, at the next level, I think it's important to be a 200-foot guy and be good in both ends of the ice. And I think obviously I'm a more offensively guy, but you know, I can't be a liability on the defensive end. So I think just being a well-rounded player and obviously just getting bigger and stronger has been the biggest focus for me.
All right, who benches more?
I'll give that one.
You miss it, yeah?
I'll take that one.
You got the squats, you got the anything else?
I don't think I have any. Maybe chin-ups, just because I'm a lighter guy. It's easier to pull myself up.
Gotcha.
It's a lot more than I can do, I'm sure. Definitely sure.
Right. There are opportunities here. Roster openings, lineup openings. In terms of making this next jump, after making such a big jump a season ago in your season in Rockford, how confident you can pull that off?
Well, I think something that I have going for me is the ability to play all 3 forward positions. You know, I played predominantly center last year, but I also played right wing and left wing for several stretches throughout the course of my professional career. So I try to be a utility man. I could fit in up and down the lineup and play a couple different roles. So it's a pretty unique opportunity. You know, there in years past there haven't been that many opportunities and roster spots for the Blackhawks, but right now they obviously need young guys to step up and new players that are on cheap contracts to contribute, and I'm hoping to be one of those guys.
Yeah, versatility is key in today's game. I just figured out, besides the bench press, you got Dartmouth versus Northeastern. He couldn't get into an Ivy League school? Is that what?
I was actually committed there.
Were you to Dartmouth?
Wow. I was 16, yeah.
Oh, you got me on that one. I was wondering why Tyler wasn't talking.
Well, Bowden, actually. Now so, that you mention it.
As we wrap up here and let you go, what are the plans? Obviously, you'll probably spend a lot of time together, but now in this, you know, 5-6 weeks before training camp, what's your approach? I know it seems like a lot of guys don't even get on the ice, and I know, Tyler, you had a long playoff run there, and you spent enough time on the ice there, but is it now the part of the season for most of you guys where you gradually start getting back on the ice before your camps begin?
Yeah, I think for me it's been a little bit different this summer just because, you know, in the previous years I've been going back to school right around this time. So, you know, you kind of get an extra month and a half of training. And, you know, at the start of the summer I felt like I wasn't doing enough skating. And then now getting on the ice, you feel like you're doing almost too much. So I think just going back, we're going to, you know, continue our routine. And I'll be in Traverse City on September 5th, and that'll lead right into main camp. So hopefully just get geared up.
And Tyler, with the long playoff run that you had, is it a little bit more time before you're taking more time before getting back on?
Yeah, each year has kind of been different. I've played until June for the last 2 years, actually, with the conference final playoff run. So I've had to scale back a little bit in terms of skating. And it's something that, like Dill said, you can get a little bit neurotic about and you know, a little antsy taking that much time off skates. But you got to realize that it's a long season, and I think the older that you get and the more professional games that you get, it's a little bit easier to jump back into that routine. And so right now I've been focusing mostly on weight training and getting my body back in shape before hitting the ice. That'll be coming up right now, you know.
So not a lot of time for video games for you guys.
We still find a little bit.
I'll bet you do. Good stuff. Guys, thanks for taking the time to come out here and join us on our Blackhawks Crazy Show. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Enjoy the rest of the time off, and we'll see you back at training camp, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Dylan, Tyler Sakura joining us here at the Blackhawks Convention. We appreciate them jumping by and probably going to mingle a little bit with the folks that we have up here. But great seasons for both of them. Dylan at Northeastern before joining the Blackhawks here late in the season, and Tyler, the Rockford IceHogs MVP, part of that long playoff run as well, in which he had 5 goals in the 13 games there. And, you know, the other thing with Dylan, we were talking with Chad Chris, one of the Blackhawks' second-round picks from a couple of years ago. I think he was the second of 3 second-round picks. DeBrinket was the first one at 39. I think Chad Chris, the defenseman, was at 45. But Chris still playing for BU, and he goes up against the Northeastern. And Dylan and part of that whole Beanpot tournament. And I asked Chad, as a matter of fact, about at the prospects camp about what it was like going against Dylan and that whole Northeastern line, because they had Adam Gaudette, who was going to be a big star for the Vancouver Canucks, and Nolan Stevens, who is also a lower-round draft pick like Dylan with the St. Louis Blues, but he's the son of John Stevens, the L.A. Kings coach. And that was like a mega line. And he said, they beat us up pretty good. Northeastern did against Boston University over the last couple of years. And he was saying how Dylan's game is going to very easily translate to the NHL level just because of his vision and playmaking ability. And I think that's something real encouraging for Blackhawk fans and for the coaching staff as well, in terms of, you know, what the upside and ceiling is for Dylan Sakura.
I was glad you asked him about playing on the same line. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
The fans would love that.
Right, and right.
They've done it a little bit, right? I mean, now and then.
Yeah. Probably at some point, yeah, but the 3-year separation,
yeah,
you know, it's been a little difficult. But, talking about that line at Northeastern, because Gaudette ended up being the Hobie Baker Award winner. Dylan was one of the finalists for that, too.
He had a great last 2 years.
Yeah, he did it at Northeastern as well. So as we wrap up here, on our Blackhawks Crazy live stream and podcast here, some of the other general impressions that you had. We started the podcast talking about Corey Crawford. I wanted to circle back to that with what he is dealing with and not being 100%. I asked the goaltending coach, Jimmy Waite, and we only have Jimmy available to the media once or twice per season. One of them is here at the Blackhawks convention annually. And I asked him, I said, you know, Corey hasn't played since December 23rd. Jimmy, yourself being a goalie, how difficult would that have been for you to go that long stretch and, you know, try and knock the rust off, you know, get back on the horse, how difficult that's going to be? And he said, you know, once Corey is able to get a week or so under his belt, he doesn't think it's going to be any problem for him. You know, when that day comes, I'm certainly anxious to see it, because you know, Corey Crawford's been underrated for so long, and I think, you know, there's a greater appreciation for him now that he hasn't been in net frequently for the Blackhawks. But I was you know, glad to see Jimmy hear that everyone obviously is going to be a little bit different with how they handle those situations. But he's pretty confident that Corey's going to be able to come back once he's on the ice, provided he can sustain that playing time level and just jump back on
now
the horse, I guess.
Just being on the ice and skating, because he hasn't done that
no,
yet.
No, in terms of goaltending.
Shots
right,
and,
in terms of goaltending.
There. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so it might be a while, but, you know, they need him. Like you said, incredibly underrated, huge part of all the Cup teams.
And the one thing Corey still has in his favor, and I think, you know, some of the media were a little bit taken aback by the fact that he says he's still not 100%, but I think during the course of his exchange with the reporters was that it's been such a slow, gradual process of what he's going through that there's still more time required for him to get back onto the ice. And I think, you know, JR could probably say it, and everyone could probably say it, that so much rests on what his health is going to be this year. And it's nice to have the backup that they brought in free agency, too, who's, you know, it may have been 12 years ago, but he's won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You know, he has that under his belt. And Cam Ward showed a lot of responsibility this past season in trying to keep Carolina in it while the former Blackhawks, Scott Darling, struggled in that so much.
Yeah, was Ward have over 600 games?
Right.
13 seasons, mm-hmm. Stanley Cup his rookie year. So, yeah, it's somebody they might have to lean on when and if they're waiting for Crawford to get healthy. Hopefully they don't, but he's at least going to be a variable, very reliable backup goaltender.
And, Jimmy did say even when Corey does get back, he sees him as probably a 55-game-a-season goalie. I think Corey's played as much as 60 or 65 games in a particular season, but, you know, that's going to be the mindset going forward, no matter what, that Cam Ward's going to get his share of the load. Any final thoughts? You want to pass along here?
Thank you, everyone who's listening. Thanks to everyone who stopped by.
Who stopped by here?
Who helped us
down
out
in Salon A. And you probably got to take some kiddies to the swimming pool right here.
Yeah, I think
soon,
my
right?
daughter wants to go to the pool. My wife's doing a swimming motion in the audience right now.
Oh, I see them over there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Griffin Filipich, our producer, and Adam Phillips, man, they're going to jump in the pool here sometime
soon. Yeah,
they can
go swimming too.
We want to appreciate all the help that they gave us. Also,
extra floaties,
special thanks as well to Todd Manley, Stephanie Menendez, and Marlene Wells from WGN. Our thanks as well to Jeremy Roenick, the Sakura brothers. To all of you for listening, either be it live on the live stream or on the podcast, and for those of you who showed up here at the Blackhawks convention, thanks as well to the Blackhawks, John Steinmiller and Matt Chernin, and also Melissa Kwiatkowski for handling our video services here. By the way, just information to pass along, Training Camp Festival tickets went on sale at 10 a.m. on Friday. I believe there's still some available for that. That'll take place on September 15th over at the United Center, the Alex DeBrincat bobblehead. Life size is going to be given away there. Also, tickets for preseason games will go on sale Monday, August 6th at 10 a.m. through ChicagoBlackhawks.com and Ticketmaster. As for the regular season, those tickets go on sale, single game tickets, on Monday, August 20th. So for Scott King, I am Chris Bowden, and we also want to invite you to subscribe and go to the Facebook page
iTunes,
as well.
Yeah, subscribe on iTunes. Nice quick listen, goes right to your phone or device.
And join us as well on our Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks. I'm not sure when the next one is we're going to do together.
We'll
maybe we'll try and figure out something to do before the start of training camp, because there's a good 5 or 6 weeks between that. We'll see who else plays in the summer league as well. Maybe we can do something with that. But otherwise, we're going to keep you posted on our Facebook page as well as Twitter. I'm at @BowdenTweets. Scott is at @ScottKingMedia. So from the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Chicago Hilton, we appreciate you all joining us, and we'll keep you posted when we're coming at you again, hopefully before training camp.